Welcome to the LifePurpose.com podcast.
The number one podcast in the entire cosmos for empowering and inspiring you to live your life's purpose.
My name is Hema Ullman.
And I'm Gabriel Serra.
And today's episode is about why nice guys will never live their life's purpose. Yesterday evening, you reminded me to put on the calendar the title for today's podcast, and it was something about why the nice guys will never be able to live their purpose. What inspired you to come up with the podcast title?
Because it's true. That's not to say that you can't be kind. There's a difference between being nice and being kind, and that distinction has to be made at the very beginning of what I'm going to say and what we're going to be talking about in today's podcast episode.
Are you just referring to men in particular or also people in general?
I'm talking about men and women. But the term is generally used on men.
Because you're associating yourself with the title.
Not just because I'm associating myself with the title, but literally in America, that would be a term that has been used. Nice guys, nice boys. There's even been books written on the subject of nice guys and the nice guy syndrome.
But even for girls, isn't it? The nice girl syndrome.
I don't know. I don't have a vagina, so I couldn't tell you. I've never researched, hey, is there a no more Mr. Miss Nice Girl book? You know what I'm saying? I've read several years ago, there's a No More Mr. Nice Guy book.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how much what the author was writing about was like really spot on with me, and no matter how much that stung, a lot of that looking back was very true. And I've been in this process over the last few years of my life, especially in the last couple of months, doing my best to change that and to change my identity and to take off that mask, because that's not the truth of who I am. And the other reason also as to why I wanted to talk about this topic in particular today is for many reasons. I've observed for myself in my lifetime that being nice has only stressed me out. Being nice has only stifled me. And being nice, when I say nice, I'm talking about being fake nice. Being fake nice has also suppressed me, and it's also made me more angry. And it's now at this stage in my life, finally at the age of 35, where I really have confronted a lot of these nice boy, nice guy, whatever you want to call it, tendencies, and have done everything in my power to respond as the authentic way that I want to respond. It doesn't mean, and I don't mean I'm responding in spite of being a nice guy. I'm purposely going out of my way to respond the exact opposite of being nice. But I'm really taking more time to listen to my inner voice, my inner God voice or higher self or whatever you want to call it. And if a no means no, I've been doing my best to say no instead of saying yes when I really mean no. And you've talked about this as well. You've brought this up to me as well with the nice guy topic. We've had some conflict because of that in the past. But the main reason why I am bringing up that nice guys or girls, men or women, boys and girls, fake nice isn't going to get you anywhere. Fake nice won't get you shit. Fake nice is only going to make you hate yourself more. And fake nice is going to prevent you from living your life purpose, because if you are pretending to be nice, if you're trying to people please, you will never be in full alignment with your authenticity. You're never going to be in full alignment with your life purpose. There's a quote in the Bible that has stuck with me to this day, and it goes something along the lines of, if you're a friend to the world, if you are a friend to the world, you are in enmity against God. And I think you remember when I started first sharing this Bible quote with you. And what that means is, if you are trying to be everyone's friend, you're going to basically be against God, because you're going to try to do everything that you can to be on everyone else's side. Oh yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I agree with you. And I agree with you. And I agree with you. But really, you don't. And what you're doing is you're selling yourself out. What you're doing is you're lacking integrity. And I know that we're in an age right now where a lot of these ideas of what it means to be a man or a woman are being challenged. But I do believe strongly that there are certain qualities that make a man a man, and there are certain qualities that make a woman a woman. And first and foremost, for a man, is what they say and what they do. That's what makes a man. Men, because men embody the masculine energy, they are a lot about doing. And what they do and what they say they're going to do are two different things. But when you say what you're going to do and you do what you said you were going to do, that's a quality that is very rare in a lot of men, especially when it comes to living their purpose. And on top of which, this also applies to women, okay? So nice women are never going to live their purpose, because if they take the mindset of, I need to be a friend to the world, you will be in enmity against God. It doesn't say if a man is a friend to the world, he's in enmity against God. It doesn't say if a woman is a friend to the world, she's in enmity against God. That's not the Bible quote. The Bible quote is, if you are a friend to the world, you will be in enmity against God. You, man or woman, it doesn't matter, penis or no penis. It doesn't matter. And I'm bringing this up because the timing of everything that we're talking about is so, it's so powerful how everything is coming together, because I can see a lot of references here. And I have to bring up pop culture in order to really solidify this point. And here's what I mean. Over the last couple of months, we've been talking about 10Xing. And we knew that in order to 10X, we had to do the shadow work. We had to address our mindset, our consciousness, our psychology, figure out what the limitation is, start removing and talking about the shit that we've been embarrassed to talk about. Last week, you talked about the sexual energy. The week before that, something else. And we've just been on this path. This past Friday, you had your shadow day. We had the shadow day, and you talked about your personal power. What's preventing you from being in your power? And then I told you about Dwayne Johnson, okay? Dwayne Johnson right now has made a reappearance in wrestling in the WWE as The Rock, his character as usual. And this is just at the time when their huge flagship annual event is coming up. It's called WrestleMania. And right now The Rock is playing a bad guy. He's playing a heel character. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because of the following. Hema, you can vouch for this, and hopefully you can chime in on this even better, because you have seen it. And it's also good because you don't have a liking for wrestling. You're very neutral to it. You don't watch it. And you can just look at what you're seeing, and you can provide feedback for what you're seeing. But you were talking about your personal power, and I asked you a series of questions because there was part of you that felt that day that we were doing the shadow date for you, that it was stupid. You said, it's stupid. What's the point of doing the shadow date? I don't want to do this. And then as you went in and I started asking you these questions, you got into a flow state. You got into a flow state because you're lacking that personal power. And your personal power in that topic, in that discussion, you figured out some key things about yourself that would be helpful for you to embody and develop more of your personal power, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we had talked about The Rock, okay? Dwayne Johnson, for those that don't know his history or his past, I grew up watching wrestling way back during this era of wrestling known as the Attitude Era, where it was just a lot of extreme things, a lot of outrageous things that were being said and done. And for me as a kid, it was hilarious. It was an absolute blast to see all of this going on. It was the most exciting time in wrestling. And now it seems like this era is back in a different form. So The Rock, the character, as you have seen, Hema, in some of these videos that I showed you on Saturday after the shadow date, Dwayne Johnson, when he was cut from his football team, okay, he was trying out for the Canadian football team. He didn't make it into the NFL at the time. He played for the University of Miami in America, in Florida. So he was on a really good football team, okay? He went to Canada, tried out for the Canadian football team, didn't make it, got cut, went back down to his parents' house. His dad was a former professional wrestler. He comes from a whole long family history of wrestlers, okay? And he's told this story several times before, so if you've never heard the exact from his words, you can just YouTube it and you'll find his story, him talking about his story. But he was basically saying that he had to go from where he was being cut to making this decision, hey, I need to do something with my life. I'm not going to sit here in my parents' basement or my parents' room or wherever it was for the rest of my life. He had the idea came to him to get into the family business, which is the wrestling business. It was known as the World Wrestling Federation at the time. But then they had a conflict dispute with another organization that was also called the WWF, the World Wildlife Foundation, or something like this. And Dwayne, at the time, said to his dad, hey, I want to get into this family business. And then his dad said, what family business? And then Dwayne said, hey, the wrestling business. He talked about how they got into this huge argument. And his dad was basically saying, I don't want you to end up like this. Do you see how I'm living? Do you really see how I'm living? I spent my whole life training to do this. And I'm all fucked up now. My body's hurting. I can barely make rent. I can barely make ends meet or pay the bills or whatever. And Dwayne at the time said, hey, like, regardless, I need to do this. First obstacle there that we have to highlight. Okay, because if you think about Dwayne Johnson is a megastar. He's world famous. Okay, if you don't know Dwayne Johnson, look him up. But Dwayne Johnson is mega famous. And I believe that his purpose was to be world famous. His purpose was to inspire a whole generation of people to take care of their health, to do something with their life, to show them that anything is possible. And I believe that he's another symbol for that. And that's why a lot of people call him The Rock. And very rare for any wrestler, unheard of for any wrestler, he actually, since he became the director of the sports company TKO just a few weeks ago, he now has full ownership rights of the name The Rock. Unheard of. Which is like a symbol for saying, like, he's The Rock. He's a very stable, sturdy guy. But if I look at the Dwayne Johnson, the person, if I look back at the last 20-something years of his life, it seems that this was his purpose. His purpose was to become a professional wrestler. He just gravitated towards it so naturally. So when he was having that conversation with his dad, getting back to the whole nice guy topic, never living his purpose, if Dwayne Johnson was suffering from the nice boy disease, guess what he would have done? He would have back down and not challenge his father. He would have done what his father wanted him to do with his life. And I bring this up now because I am remembering an old girlfriend. If I talk about the nice guy syndrome, this is also synonymous with the nice gal, girl, woman, female syndrome. It's synonymous, okay? This is just like air quote nice person syndrome, okay? This person that I once dated, she was telling me how she wanted to make her father happy And there was a time where her dad was telling his kids, he had three kids, he was telling each of his kids what they were going to be when they grew up. You're going to be a nurse. You're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be a doctor. And that's what they gravitated towards to make their father happy. Now, this old girlfriend, she was telling me one time, a couple of times actually, because she changed her field of study to do technology. She said, my dad wanted me to go to law school to be a lawyer. And I was studying that in my undergraduate. I went through all 4 years of school studying criminal justice. And when it came time to taking the lawyer entrance exam or the LSATs or whatever they call it, I told my dad, I don't want to do this with my life. I want to do computers instead. I want to do technology. And when she told him that, he got so upset. He stopped talking to her for like 2 weeks, is what she told me. Until he saw it, he realized, oh, there's money in this thing. So now he supports it, right? But she spent 4 years, 4 years of her life studying this thing that she did not want to study. To then finally, at the last moment, everything inside of her telling her, girl, you cannot do this with your life. You are not meant to be a lawyer. Do something else that you're interested in. And for her, it was technology. And this voice inside her was telling her, don't do this. Stop doing this. Change over. And she's wanted to change over. She wanted to change over. She wanted to change over well before she told her father. But she did it to be nice. She did it to be nice. Now, going back to Dwayne Johnson, right? So that's the first nice person, nice guy, nice gal disease syndrome. That's the first symptom of that virus. It is you want to please your parents, okay? You want to please your parents. Now, for Dwayne Johnson, when he got into the wrestling business, when he finally got in and he made his debut, okay? I think it was the Royal Rumble or Survivor Series or one of those mainstream pay-per-view events. I think it was Survivor Series. And Dwayne Johnson made his debut as Rocky Maivia, a good guy. And he was told to smile and be all cheery and be etc. And Dwayne Johnson at this time, this new guy, completely green, had no say over his character. So, you know, he's getting hired by the WWF at the time, WWE now, and he's acquiescing. He doesn't really want to smile. He doesn't really want to smile, but it's his job to smile. It's your job to wear this silly, stupid outfit that looks absolutely ridiculous on you with your hair in Jerry curls. You look absolutely damn stupid, Rock. And you're going to smile and you're going to pretend that you're fucking good. You're a good guy. And so this is the persona that The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, had to portray when he first came in. But then what happened after a while? Him playing this nice guy role, what happened? The crowd started to boo him. The crowd started to say, Rocky sucks. You're trash. Get out of here. You're a bum. And Rocky Maivia, the character that Dwayne Johnson was playing at the time, before he officially became The Rock, he still had to put on that silly smile. He was still forced to smile. Even though the crowd is telling you, you suck. We want something else because we're moving into a completely different era of professional wrestling. We don't want to see the good guys win anymore. We want to see the bad guys win. So thankfully, maybe, act of God, Dwayne Johnson breaks his leg. But around this time, Vince McMahon, the CEO, the owner at the time of the WWE, calls him up and says, hey, how's your leg doing? They had that little conversation and he said, hey, I don't know how it's going to be when you go back. I don't know if this is going to work. And that's Dwayne Johnson's future on the line. He's playing this character that they told him to play. He's putting on this silly mask, dressing up with these silly tights, making this silly intro appearance with this silly ass haircut, looking like a complete goof. And Vince McMahon is saying, hey, we did something wrong. I don't know. I'm sorry, but I don't know if it's going to work. because it's easy for them to just cut when it doesn't work for them, but they're not thinking about the wrestler and all the work the wrestler really went through and put themselves into to get to that position. So The Rock is there recovering over the summertime or whatever the period of time was where he had that broken leg. Then he comes back and he doesn't have much time left. They were literally about to fire and let go of what was arguably, or who could arguably be called a best wrestler next to Stone Cold, perhaps even better, of that complete era, of that entire generation. A Hall of Fame wrestler, a soon-to-be megastar. Had they fired Dwayne Johnson in wrestling, I'm getting goosebumps as I say this, he would have never made that appearance on Saturday Night Live, and he would have never made his appearance in that Brendan Fraser movie, The Mummy, The Scorpion King, and he would have never become the megastar that we see and know today, for sure. So Dwayne Johnson goes back. He says to Vince McMahon, he says, "Hey, Vince, please, I just need 30 seconds on the microphone. I just need 30 seconds to tell the crowd how I feel." And as I say that, I feel it in my heart too now. I get the chills in my heart. I just need 30 seconds to say what I have to say in my heart. So he goes out there on live TV. It's Monday Night Raw. The crowd is booing the shit out of him. "Rocky sucks. Rocky sucks." And at this time, he was with the Nation of Domination. So The Rock gets the microphone and he says something. It doesn't matter what he says, but he says something that basically got the attention of the fans and got the attention of the people backstage. And it made them see something in Dwayne Johnson, in The Rock, and the character that they didn't see before, that they ignored and that they were about to fire and let go. And as Dwayne Johnson calls it or talks about it, within a month of saying those words that he said, that he just needed 30 seconds to say, he was the hottest heel in the entire company. He went on to win the championship. He went on to do a whole bunch of stuff, headline WrestleMania. He got his break, his acting break, because I saw it. He had the opportunity to do Saturday Night Live, and he did a phenomenal job acting. He then got his invited to do like different movie parts with The Mummy and Brendan Fraser, as I said, and then he took off from there. I'm bringing all this up because had The Rock been a nice guy, had The Rock, and this is again to emphasize that there is a difference between being nice and being kind. Fake nice is not what is going to get you to live your life purpose. It is okay to be kind. I'm not saying be a dick. I'm not saying be an asshole. I'm not saying any of that. But being nice, when you really don't want to be, being overly passive, being a pushover, that's what I'm talking about. Had The Rock been a pushover and not said, "Hey, I need 30 seconds on the microphone," had he just stayed quiet and allowed himself to get fired, his life and the lives of a whole bunch of people would have been massively different. And if I talk about the concept of a big one, we've talked about this concept before. What's a big one? If you had to really identify what a big one is, it would be a The Rock. It would be a Tony Robbins. It would be a Alicia Keys, a Lisa Nichols, a T.R. Vecker, Eric Thomas, whoever you admire, okay? That would be a big one. Owning their power and doing the best that they can to really embrace their power. And I'm sure that there are even still limitations that they even have psychologically. If you think about Oprah Winfrey, big one, right? So I'm bringing all that up because The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, the person, needed to do things for the character, The Rock, that were contrary to what the role was that he was required to play. He was required to play the character of this nice guy. Yes, let's go team, and be this image of what wrestling was not becoming anymore because it was already the past. That era was done in the 80s with the Hogan and Roddy Piper and Randy Macho Man Savage. That era was done. At this time when The Rock was coming in, they were literally on the cusp of the Attitude Era. And when The Rock became The Rock, he became The Rock that night that he said that promo. And that is what elevated the WWE at that time, because they were about to go bankrupt from their competitor, WCW. They were getting their ass kicked in the ratings by their competitor. But it was key characters like The Rock, Stone Cold, Mankind, Undertaker, Triple H, these kinds of guys that were the opposite embodiment of nice. They were playing these characters, sure, on screen, and perhaps backstage, back screen, they had a different persona from what their character is or the character they were portraying. But in order for us, and I say all this because in order for us to fulfill our purpose, we have to speak out. We have to say the things that are uncomfortable to say. And we must be able to do and act in a way that is perhaps not accepted or looked at or commented on. When the sheep and the flock are doing all one thing and you are the outlier doing the opposite, you're obviously going to have a lot of attention on you, and that may feel uncomfortable. You may also be comfortable being uncomfortable. I don't know. However, it is the non-negotiable willingness to be fiercely independent, to express who you truly are with the complete abandonment of thinking how others will perceive you, how others will receive you, is what will enable you to fulfill your purpose as was needed to be. And as I say this, I cannot help but talk and think of Jesus. I am sure Jesus many times was confronted by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. At each time, I am sure that he may have been even intimidated by them, or they may have at least tried to intimidate Jesus, okay, by showing up in numbers to confront him. Who do you think you are, Jesus? It would be massively easy for a group of people all unified at tearing you down verbally to say, who are you, Jesus? You are no one. You are a peasant. Imagine how difficult it must have been for Jesus. I don't know. But how difficult could it have been for Jesus to look at all five, all six, or however big their group was, whenever they would confront Jesus and say the parables that he would say, to say the things that he would say and confront them in the way that he would have confronted them? You cannot be nice to do that. Could Jesus have fulfilled his purpose had he been a friend to the world? Had he tried to people please the Pharisees? Had he tried to say the things that the people wanted him to say versus saying the things that God needed him to say? Hema, do you remember that part in the movie The Son of God where they were about to stone the woman, the Pharisees?
Mm-hmm.
They were about to stone that woman. And then they looked at Jesus when he approached, and then they gave Jesus the stone. Do you remember what he said?
Yeah, Jesus took the stone. He went to the woman, and everyone, he had everyone's attention. Everyone was curious of what he's going to do. And he picked up the stone in his right hand. He lifted his right hand next to the woman. And then he said, whichever one of you has never sinned before may throw the first stone.
Yeah, he said, I think he said, I'll give my stone to the first person who tells me that they haven't sinned. Now imagine how disarming that is, or that was at the time, for someone to have said something like that.
Which is interesting, because Jesus had, from the way we hear about him and we read or we see about him in movies, for me, he had a talent and the ability to, how do I say this? To confront people with their own shadows, to disarm them. Because all these people who wanted, in that example that you're giving, wanted to stone that woman for cheating on her husband or calling her a whore, they were all pointing with their fingers to her. And what do we already know about the shadows and how they work? If we're not in acceptance with our own shadows, we tend to project our shadows onto others, and then we blame others, and we want to judge others, and we want to hurt them. Jesus knew about this concept, I believe, with the shadows, and in a lot of the parables and in a lot of examples where he disarmed people, he was able to call out or to address and confront people with their own shadows, which in turn left them completely speechless or disarmed them. And this is the same concept with Dwayne Johnson that I saw. There's a combination and the correlation between Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and Jesus, and why they're both so famous. Both of them, they are brave enough to call out the shadows when everyone is listening and when everyone is looking at them, if that makes sense to you, what I mean.
And they're comfortable doing it.
They're comfortable addressing the shadows in public in a way.
Do you remember that video I showed you with him wearing the cowboy hat, Dwayne Johnson? Mm-hmm. Or let's just call him The Rock because he's in character mode now. And how The Rock was saying, you're talking about The Rock is full of shit. The Rock's not full of shit. The reason why the people love me is because I tell it like it is. It's because I say the things that other people wish they could say. And what does that mean? There's a lot of people that are holding themselves back. And that's also why a lot of people like The Rock and admire The Rock, because he does say the shit that they wish they could say.
Yes, but people are scared.
People are scared. Why are they scared?
Because they haven't confronted their shadows. And that's what I have been talking about all the time. If there is no enemy within, there is no enemy outside that can harm you. And that makes a truly courageous person or a Jesus or a Rock who they are, being admired and loved, but also criticized at the same time. Why is The Rock the most followed, apparently the most followed public figure in the world or on social media? Why do we still talk about Jesus thousands of years after he was on the planet?
And he didn't need social media.
Exactly. And why do people boo The Rock, but on the same time they cheer him? It comes back down to the shadow. It's very connected with that. Les Brown, he says it as well. If there is no enemy within us, the enemy outside of us can do us no harm. Meaning, when you are in peace with your own shadows, you have confronted your own inner demons. You have slayed your own inner demons. And the truth shall set you free. And know thyself first. Meaning, know who you truly are with your light side, with your dark side, with the shadows, with the inner demons, with the inner conflicts, with the fears that you have, with the limitations that you have. Confront yourself first, and then you will be able to confront things in the outer world free of fear, free of shame, free of guilt. And that's what a Rock does. That's what a Jesus does. I am 100% certain, maybe at one point, hey, Rock, you come and speak with us on a podcast and you confirm what I'm saying here, because I'm quite sure that this is the case. There was a point in your life where you confronted yourself and you did some deep inner work where you confronted your greatest fears, you confronted the inner boogeyman, and you confronted the little weaknesses and the big weaknesses that you have or that you had inside of you. And you were just really calling out your inner demons. You were calling out your inner shadows. You confronted all of it and you were rising above all of it. And that made you become the big one that you are today. And that made you summon the courage to speak the unspeakable and being cheered for and booed for, criticized and loved at the same time by billions of people. And they wish they could say the things that you that you say. But many of them, they can't, because they haven't confronted their inner shadows. They haven't confronted their fears. They haven't confronted their inner limitations. But if there is no enemy within, meaning if there is no more shadow inside of us, if there is no more boogeyman in the closet inside of us, there is nothing and no one in the outer world that can harm you.
And that's also, to add on to this, this shadow that we're speaking about today is particular. It's directed to the nice guy shadow. It's a shadow. And I remember there was a book I read about at least 10 years ago now, and it was called No More Mr. Nice Guy. And in that book, basically, the author was writing about what causes someone to be a nice boy, what causes someone to be a nice guy. Oftentimes, it's when a male is raised by a single woman. Okay. Male is raised by a single woman, oftentimes. And the underlying agenda is to be nice, is to be polite. And I know that for women, that's what you're trained to do, right or wrong.
No, 100%.
This is what your grandmother emphasized in you with this whole lady training, right? What did she call it? Female etiquette or something? How to walk like a lady? How to be a lady? Something like this?
Yeah, my grandma, on many occasions, whether it's Christmas or my birthday, she used to gift me a book or a course of some sort about how to be a girl or how to be a woman, and basically the way a girl or a woman needs to behave or dress or act to be considered ladylike, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And this conditioning is, a lot of this is behavioral, isn't this, would you agree?
Holy wow. Okay, I gotta say this. Hey, grandma, please. This is no offense, but I'm really feeling called to say this right now. Huh. Yeah, I can say this. Watch out for the nice guy or for the quiet guy, because they are the most dangerous. Watch out for those who constantly have a smile on their face, and ask yourself if it's authentic, because they may actually hold the most anger inside of them and the most repression inside of them. And whoever holds the most repression inside of them must at one point explode. And it is just a matter of time how they explode and when they explode. About my grandma, she was constantly putting the emphasis on raising her grandchildren in a very ladylike manner. The girls, the way we show up in public, the way we speak to others, and it had to be in a proper way. And after my grandma passed away, we actually found out, because my father opened up speaking about this, that my grandma had an alcohol problem, and she did never speak about this because it wasn't ladylike to have an alcohol problem. It wasn't ladylike to shove down your anger, your pain, your frustration with alcohol. And because a lady pretends that everything's fine, she suppresses the shadows. So my grandma had an alcohol problem because her husband was throwing plates at her because he was angry. Why was he angry? Because in public he was pretending to be a nice worker, a nice man, but internally, deep down, he resented it. It wasn't who he truly was. So that anger came out, and it came out in the home. He then left and expressed his anger in the home with his wife, with his children, and that affected them to suppress their shadows, to not face it, to not speak about it, because that's not what a lady is supposed to do, because they're running on a program, on a nice girl program, a nice lady program. And it just creates all this chaos. And then the woman goes to drink the alcohol, becomes a secret alcoholic. How does that affect the children in the house? They're just trying to escape. They don't want to be around mommy and daddy, because it's all a pretending. It's all a fakeness. It's all a fake masquerade. And it leaves families distorted and hurt. Do you see how this is all connected?
Absolutely, 100%. Another way of saying nice guy, nice girl, nice gal, passive aggressive. You don't confront the shit at work.
Yeah, and it's being something that you're not.
Being something you're not.
You're running on a character that is not who you truly are.
Exactly. It's like someone forcing you to be a nice guy or to smile, right? And I'm sure you've probably also been told that, smile, smile. Why aren't you smiling? Like, I don't want to fucking smile. It's that simple. If I don't want to smile, don't make me smile. Not everyone is happy. And fucking congratulations. Really, congratulations if you are absolutely happy. If you are a happy, if you are genuinely a happy person, hooray for you. Hooray for you. But not everyone is happy. A lot of people, like you've said, Hema, because they have had previous generations, their ancestors, their grandfathers, their grandmothers, taking the shit, they become alcoholics. They take the shit at work when their boss screams at them or whatever the fuck. And then they go home, drink the alcohol, and then they rape their wives, they rape their kids, they sexually mistreat their children, their little girls, and then they all pretend that it never happened when it fucking did, and they pretend, and they pretend, and they pretend.
And that's how family trauma or trauma in general is being created.
Of course. You know, when I was growing up, and I can also say this now,
there is one more example that I wanna bring here about the nice boy syndrome. Another example: I had a manager in a hotel that I was working in, and he was always smiling. He was always laughing. He was always like, "Oh my God, this guy is so fun to be around," and he was like everyone's favorite. It seemed that way. And I asked him one day. I said to him, "Hey, let's be very honest. Is that who you truly are at work?" And he said, "Hey, Hema, I'm just an actor. I'm just acting." Now, I found out 10 years later that the guy ended up in prison because at home, he had probably a mental breakdown of some sort where his inner demons, his inner shadows came out. He didn't know how to deal with it. And he attacked his own daughter with a knife, apparently. And he went to prison for that. And that's when you're not, that can happen when you're never confronting your shadows. It can get really extreme. Or in other cases, we see wars happening on the planet. It happens individually and it also happens collectively. It happens in a very small spectrum and in a very massive spectrum.
There's a tipping point. And this is also real important too, because we're humans. We're not like robots. We're not pieces of technology where we don't have an emotion. We have emotion. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's not a good thing. I don't know. And in the case of who you were talking about, all this fake niceness, this is what I'm talking about. All this fake niceness, bottling up maybe what they really wanted to say. If a customer was rude, maybe he really wanted to say, "Get the fuck out of here," then. As opposed to saying, "Right away, sir, I will handle that check for you and I will make it snappy, sir," with a fake smile on his face. Maybe he really wanted to say, "Go fuck yourself, get out of here." But he says the opposite. Why? It's the nice guy thing. And on top of which, it's also connected to and linked to the blocked energy of the sexual energy. So after we recorded last week's podcast, I did a whole bunch of research the following day on the sexual energy, and I found a lot of very striking connections, researched and science-backed, about entering into the flow state and how the prohibition of our sexual energy is much more likely to prevent us also getting into that flow state, because we're not doing the thing that we want to do. You had mentioned too, when you're working at that restaurant in London, the same one you mentioned the manager, you were saying that you would check the time and it would feel like a whole bunch of time never passed. Like you've just been stuck, you know? Like you ever worked a job where 10 minutes pass and it feels like 10 hours have passed? And you're like, holy shit, this is going to be a really long day. I've had a couple of those jobs and it was absolutely miserable and I didn't last long. But now imagine the people that have children, they have families, they got to put food on the table and they're miserable doing this. That sexual energy is blocked. They're not in the flow state. They are pretending. And the more they pretend, the more that it bottles up their emotions, their truths. And what happens because they're not able to express their sexual energy, right? Because they don't find the things that they actually enjoy to do, get into that flow state, okay? Which is what the researcher Mahali Chechamali, I think his name was. I can't pronounce his name. If anyone else can, let me know. But this guy, finding out more about the flow state and what creates that flow state, if this guy is saying you get into the flow state when you're doing the things that you absolutely enjoy, well, if the sexual energy is linked to you expressing what you're creatively doing and your life purpose and your gifts, if you're not in that flow state, if you're not creatively expressing, if you're working a job at a restaurant, if you're working a job you hate, putting food on the table, you don't want to do it, what's going to happen? It's going to get you sick. There's going to be that suppression of energy. You're going to start doing things like your grandma, like your grandma did. Start drinking on the side, you know? Start doing things that are counterproductive and going against you living a balanced and healthy and purposeful life. You know, I also remember too, for myself growing up and looking at it now, how much being a nice boy to please my biological mother destroyed my confidence, my identity as a man, and my ability to tap into my masculinity. I remember times, for example, when I'd have bullying happening in school and I would tell my biological mother, you know what she would say? She would say, go tell the teacher. Go tell the teacher. If someone is bothering you, if someone in school is bothering you, go tell the teacher. Like, that is going to do a whole bunch of help. Are you fucking crazy? You know what's going to happen? That teacher is going to go talk to the kid that is bullying the kid that told the teacher, hey, teacher, this person is bullying me. And you know what that kid is going to do? That kid is going to go right back and fucking make fun of you. You're such a punk. Really? You're going to tell the teacher. Remember that experience that you had with that kid about the quarter issue? Can you share that experience? Please, please tell that experience about the quarter issue with the kid when you were much younger.
Yeah, I was about 10 years old, 10 years young, and I had a bet with my classmate, a boy, and he lost the bet and he owed me €1. He never gave me that €1. And I told him off, like, for 5 days I was chasing after him. I said, hey, I won the bet, you owe me €1. And he was finding excuses. And then after a week, I finished school, I left the school building, and all of a sudden, his mom confronted me. He's like, hey girl, I need to talk to you. Leave my boy alone. Are you threatening my boy to owe you €1? What he did, he went to tell his mom. What a freaking coward.
That's what you were thinking at 10 or 11 years old.
Yes. I'm like, this dude doesn't have any balls. Like, he's scared of me. He's freaking scared of me to tell his mom about this freaking €1. Really? He has his mom come to school for that? Fucking joke. Yeah, that's it.
Now, let me ask you, Emma. Do you think that if Dwayne Johnson had a son, and that issue happened, and let's say, for example, let's say Dwayne Johnson had a son. Do you think that if Dwayne Johnson had a son and he was getting bullied at school, I'm sure that if it was you and he found out that there's a girl that's asking you for €1, he'd probably be like, here, it's a girl. She likes you or something like that. Go ask her out. That's what he probably would say, right? Then that's how the situation would be handled. Just be like, hey, here, can I get your number? That's how he would say it. I am sure that that's how The Rock would say it. That's how Dwayne Johnson would say it. But and you see how the difference was? The difference in response was he told his mommy, 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 there's a girl at school. She's bothering me, mommy. What do I do? And then she confronts you and says, hey, leave my kid alone.
Right. And that's what happens when the boys get trained to not tap into their masculine power.
Exactly.
And that's what disempowers the masculine energy.
Exactly. And a lot about the masculine energy from what I've also researched, because I've read so many books on masculinity and becoming a man because I did not grow up with a biological father.
You needed answers. You needed some guidance, but there was no black man around.
There was no sane, stable, masculine figure in my life.
Exactly.
So I had to learn how to be the closest thing to what a quote-unquote man could be on my own. And even then, I don't think I'm there. And as I was reading all these books, you know, men in particular, a lot of their psychology is wired around doing and dominance. They have to feel like they're dominating at something, they're winning at something, because that helps them express more of their testosterone and that helps them express more of their masculine energy. But if you suppress that, you don't have a space to want to conquer. It kills you inside. So if you think about this, like someone living their purpose, The Rock, for example, okay? I think really, if I look back at his life, his purpose was to do exactly what he did. His purpose was to entertain people, be the actor, be a role model, build and inspire people to do something more with their lives. Had The Rock not expressed that inner testosterone, that masculine energy, his sexual energy, he could have imploded. He could have been a massive alcoholic. He could have been a mass murderer. He could have been something else, because he's not in his most constructive use of his energy. He's not living his purpose. And the nice guy's shadow is the shadow that it's coming out. It's coming out. It's there. And it's like waiting to lash out. It's waiting to explode. And you are afraid to show that. You know, my biological mother instilled in me, it's not okay to fight. You don't want to fight. You don't want to fight. No. But I guarantee you that if Dwayne Johnson had a son and he was getting bullied, you know what he would do? I am quite certain he would be like, all right, we're going to find the best boxer. You're going to beat the shit out of that kid. You're going to punch him straight in the face as hard as you can. Let's see if he bullies you then. Really, seriously. Versus if you go to a woman, she'd probably be like, okay, let me go and talk to her.
Right, the talking.
Let me go and talk. Let's talk about it. Let's talk. Okay, if that doesn't work, let's go tell the teacher. That doesn't fucking work. And guess what? If you want to make effective change on this planet, you're going to have to confront.
Yes.
You're going to have to confront.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? You know?
Yeah, 100%. It's the metaphor and the lesson that I received very strongly when I took Iboga. Iboga is the masculine root plant. And Iboga was telling me this. There is a boogeyman playing in the shadows, in the background. And it's going to continue to play its games with your mind and with your psychology until you address it. The boogeyman has no power when you confront it, but it has the power over you when you do not confront it, when you're scared of it, when you run away from it, when you fear it. That's how the boogeyman grows, and that's how the boogeyman can do what it does in the background. But if you face it, if you call it out, it is powerless. That was a huge message and lesson from Iboga.
In that book, No More Mr. Nice Guy, the other point to bring up about this nice person topic is that boys learn to be nice from their mothers, usually single moms, because the mom doesn't know how to be man. That's why your mom, you don't know how to be masculine. And that's a whole different conversation, but that's also super damaging for a woman to try to be anything but a woman. You're now saying you have to now be super masculine, and then now you're expected to be super feminine. That doesn't work. That doesn't work.
That's confusing.
It's confusing. It's the same thing too. Like, you're telling a man, you've got to be nice. What the fuck does that even mean? What are you saying? But there's a difference between being kind and being nice. I'm not saying be a jerk. I'm not saying be a meathead. I'm not saying, you know, be an asshole. No, but I am saying when someone is saying some shit to you, or you have a big purpose to confront politicians for how they're slaughtering animals in the slaughterhouses, and that pisses you off, what you gonna do? You're gonna tweet about it? Or are you gonna actually go to politicians' offices? Are you actually gonna get a group of people together and protest? Look at Greta Thunberg. How did that 16-year-old girl go from unheard of to speaking like at the UN and speaking at all these press conferences, making her way on national television, speaking about climate change? You have to be able to say the things that a lot of people wish they could say. And that's, I think, also why Greta Thunberg is so beloved by so many people, because she says the shit that even grown men wish they could say.
Yeah, she is a voice for the masses.
She's a voice for the masses.
And that's why the masses support her.
Yes, and when I think about Greta Thunberg, I think about her super fan, the guy that owns the vegan restaurant, and how he would never say some shit like that. He's trying to be too polite and too tactful and too considerate versus saying the shit that she says. And I think he even said that one time.
It is also easier for a young kid to be in their authenticity and in integrity because they have not gone through 30, 40, 50, 60 years of programming and conditioning by society.
Yeah, but it happens very early, though. It happens. It happens very early. But you are correct. There is an age where before kids go to actual public school, they are very unfiltered. They say what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they say what they mean. It's hilarious. But they say these things because they don't care.
Yeah.
There's no filter. There's no nice person conditioning.
Want to hear another story?
Sure.
Perfect example. My mom's neighbor, she has a daughter. And the daughter was 6 or 7 years young. And she used to come over to our place to eat cake or to eat food with us occasionally. And she was always just so brutally honest. Once she came over, we gave her a slice of cake. She had a bite. She did not continue eating it. And we also made her a cup of cacao. She had one sip. She did not finish it. And I asked her, "What's wrong? Are you not finishing your food?" She said, "No, I don't like it. It doesn't taste good, but thank you." And there was just something so genuine and innocent about her authentic expression and just expressing the way it is very neutrally without any emotional attachment. And I'm like, "Oh, okay, no problem. Do you want anything else?" And she's like, "No, thanks. I will come back next week." And no problem whatsoever. Like, yeah, okay, you don't like the food, no problem. But someone else would have probably forced themselves to eat the food and then throw up.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the LifePurpose.com podcast. If you enjoy our content, I invite you to also join our free newsletter where we share exclusive content. Click the link in the description below or go directly to LifePurpose.com and sign up to our newsletter. And now back to the episode.
Getting back to what I was saying about the No More Mr. Nice Guy book. So in that book, he talked about the single mom thing and how boys get raised by single mom. He also talked about what causes this. What causes the conditioning of a man to be nice? And in your case, I'm sure it's also obvious too. Maybe you had like the older generation, especially your grandmother tell you, who came from a completely different generation, a completely different line of time, and she was telling you, you need to behave like a lady. I don't know how applicable that is today. What the hell does it even mean to be a lady? What does it even mean to be a man? But what I can say is not to be something that you're not. To find out what it means to be a man or a woman, it's an individual's journey. That's what I've come to realize and conclude for myself. So this book is talking about that. It's talking about what makes a boy a nice boy, and then how that nice boy grows up to be a nice guy. and how when it even comes to dating and relationships, nice guys don't get the girls that they really want. They don't go after and ask out whoever they want.
Yeah, how would they?
How would they?
Because they're not, they're lying to themselves.
They're lying to themselves. They're not in truth with who they're attracted to. Also, they wouldn't have the balls to actually approach women. They wouldn't approach the woman with confidence. They'd be too scared to do it. Or they find maybe social media or online or whatever the case is to interact with women. So that's what this book is talking about. And I can see how it is directly connected to the shadows. Why am I bringing all this up though? We're bringing up all these stories, wrapping it up. Let's get to the point of the purpose thing. Living your life purpose. As I said in the beginning of the podcast episode with that quote, being a friend to the world puts you in enmity against God. Well, who is God? God, if you could think about it as a person in the sky, sure, maybe if that's how you want to view it, that's how you want to view God. I have come to see it or observe it as a source of energy. You know, someone else might call it the universe or Buddha, Allah, whatever. Doesn't matter. I think we're all referring to the same thing. We're all referring to something greater than us. Okay? Now, if this God, if this greater than us energy created you as one of its creations with intention, okay, your face is different from my face. Your voice is different from my voice. That would lead me to believe that we're different. But why are we different? Perhaps for a reason. Perhaps there's a purpose why you have the face you have, and you have the voice you have, and you think the way you do. Perhaps there's a reason or a purpose why I have the face I have, the voice I have, think the way I do. And if that's the case, then that's the case for all of us. And if that's the case, wouldn't it then make sense to understand that perhaps we all have a purpose for being here? And if it wouldn't make sense that we all have a purpose for being here, then it would also lead me to now believe we're meant to be ourselves. We're meant to not conform. We're meant to be our authentic expressive selves, just like you've been saying all these podcast episodes. So to wrap that up, when it comes to being the nice guy, the way that this book also describes the No More Mr. Nice Guy, the way this book also describes the nice guy, the nice boy idea or mask is that it's a template, okay? It is like, it's literally, if you think about it, like a program. It's like a program. It's like, you've got to do this. You've got to say please. You've got to say thank you. You've got to hold the door open for women. You've got to be chivalrous. You've got to be polite. You've got to be respectful. You've got to walk a certain way. You've got to be considerate of other people. That is something that is, from what you just said, very lady etiquette dominant. And if there's a whole bunch of boys being raised by a single woman, what does that now lead the boy growing up to become a quote-unquote man now become? They become now passive. They become now, oh, is it okay for me to start my own business? They start now looking outside of them for that validation as opposed to going with what they feel internally is right. That's where I'm going with this. So the nice guy idea is a template that molds us to being something that is outside and completely opposite of being who we are and who God created us and intended for us to be.
Wow.
You understand?
Wow. You just nailed it. Remember the Matrix? And they're always speaking about it's just a program in the Matrix. So you come here, you're born as a God source being, your purpose is already instilled within you. And then you're born in this world with all these programs that are being placed onto you to prevent you from expressing God in action, to make you prevent expressing your God-given life force energy, your sexual energy. And that creates the conflict in people.
Exactly. Exactly. Kids already come in knowing. You just said it. Kids already come in knowing what they want to say. Like that little girl, she already knows, hey, I don't like that cake. But then if you condition her if her mom was there or something like that, her mom would have probably been like, oh my God, that is not okay to say. You don't say that. What you do is you just say, oh, I'm so full. Make up some type of bullshit lie as opposed to just saying the truth. And then what you're going to do to that girl, you're going to train her to believe that she must lie every single time to be nice. That's what creates liars, right? Or lying in the form of self-defense or to defend yourself. Why did you do that? Why did you break up with me? And you make up a lie, okay? These are the programs, if you would like to call it that, and that's exactly what I would call it too, the nice guy, the shadow, Carl Jung's shadow concept. These are all ideas. And these ideas create this inner rage because we cannot say the things that we actually are intending to say.
It's not what I am. I am that I am. The program is not what I am.
Exactly. So until you are aware of that, you keep running on this nice guy shadow program, okay? And this nice guy shadow program is with you everywhere. It's with you everywhere. You say the thing that you want to not say for the purposes of being nice. Let me say that again. You hold back. You hold yourself back from not saying the things you actually want to say for the sake of being nice. You do the things that other people want you to do instead of doing what you actually want to do for the sake of being nice, for the sake of people pleasing. If Dwayne Johnson had tried and gone back to football like his dad wanted him to and not pursued wrestling, he could have missed the timing. Had Jesus taken the advice of his disciples or his mother and not confronted the Pharisees or the Sadducees, who knows what the outcome of that part of history would have been. And it's not just Jesus, it's not just Dwayne Johnson. There's countless other people. Even Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins of Business Mastery. Had he been playing on the nice guy syndrome with that woman at Business Mastery and just playing into her lies, into her bullshit, she would have never gotten the results that she wanted. And Tony Robbins, I'm sure he would have never even made it to the level that he made it to of success. That's the reason why everyone goes to Tony Robbins, is because he calls people out on their bullshit, because he's not being nice. He's not trying to be nice. There's a difference between nice and being kind. We have to understand the two. And I think a lot of the spiritual new age community today, I'm not bashing on anyone at all, but I think there's this huge emphasis on being love and light, and it's only this, and you completely ignore everything else. You completely forget about your physical existence here. There's a reason why we're here. We're physical. There's a purpose behind it. We are here to do something. And what I'm saying is that we can do something extraordinary in our lifetime when we are in tune with our truth. When we are not being a friend, we're not trying to be a friend to everyone and being people-pleasing to everyone and being agreeable to everyone.
And that's why the significance of having the healed, having the masculine energy healed to live your purpose is so necessary, because you just said it, we are here in this physical world with a physical body for a reason, to do something of significance. And earlier on you were saying that the masculine energy is a lot about doing. And whether you are a woman or you are a man, looking at our own masculine energy, our doing energy, clearing it out, bringing it back into balance, into harmony, so that we can all do something of significance, is very necessary at this time, to not be passive anymore, but to get into our power, whether you are a woman or a man.
Exactly.
And to own your doing energy, to own your masculine energy.
Exactly. And when it comes to us for lifepurpose.com, I acknowledge for myself that I still live with this nice guy disease. And I've been aware of it for years, and I'm doing the best that I can to change that. But it's in these weird moments where I get caught off guard and it comes up randomly. But I'm telling you that I have to end that, because if I continue to be that way, then I will continue to hold back lifepurpose.com. I can't do that. And even still at this stage, like, I'll just even share this before we end off the podcast today, because we've already been going for some time, almost an hour and a half. In the last episode, last week's episode, we talked about sexual energy and we had a certain amount of subscribers, rolling average subscribers to the podcast channel. Doesn't matter what the number is. Doesn't matter. It could be 10,000. It could be 10 million. It could be 10. It could be 2, whatever the fuck. Doesn't matter. As soon as we released and published that podcast episode, within a day or two, we had one less subscriber.
About the sexual energy.
About the sexual energy. And it's interesting how I heard the voices in my head, the nice guy in my head, the programs of, oh, what did I say? What did I do? Oh, and then it's the people-pleasing thing about, oh, I'm saying the things that people probably don't want me to say, or that rub them the wrong way to say, or whatever the fuck. And I'm just noticing this program. I'm noticing how this program, if I were to actually allow myself to continue responding to it and reacting to it in its favor, that it would continue to prevent me. It would prevent me from speaking what I need to say today. It would prevent me from continuing to say anything else that I need to say in the future. I would continue to live my life in such a way where I'm constantly focused on the opinions of other people and what they think about me.
And their reactions and their
responses. And their reactions.
And the numbers.
Exactly.
You don't even look at that.
Exactly. And with The Rock, what happened? What happened? What did he say? He was saying the most outrageous things with the segment that I showed you of him on the wrestling. And he was acknowledging that they were in Arizona and that Phoenix, Arizona is the number one city in America for cocaine and meth use. And he was saying that out loud. He was saying that for the purposes of pissing off the fans. Do you see how powerful that is? Because now that he's got the attention of the fans are hating him more, but they're also loving it. They're also, they know that it's The Rock talking shit to get a reaction out of the crowd, to further cement him as a bad guy. But he does it on purpose. And how does he end the segment? He ends the segment when he says to his cousin, Roman Reigns, who's played by Joe Anoa'i, he says to him, you're my tribal chief. And then the crowd is telling him, you're a sellout, you're a sellout. And then he says, let me tell you something, idiots. This is family and we're going to do anything for family. Now go home and smoke some more crack. And he said that on live TV. That, him saying that, is burned in my memory because it's just the way that he said it. He wore the expensive Versace clothes. His energy pops.
You don't get intimidated by anything or anyone.
He's not intimidated. He doesn't give a shit. If anything, he wants the reaction. He wants you to hate on him. He wants you to boo him. And because he wants it so much, it feeds him more. You're just giving away your energy to him even more. But he's not being nice and cleaning up his act. No, he's going full out and he's saying the most outrageous things, that he's telling the audience, go home and smoke some more crack, you drug addicts. He's calling them this. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, the most famous man in the world. He's calling it out. He's saying, you guys are a whole bunch of drug addicts. You do cocaine and you do meth. Now go home and smoke crack. That is outrageous to say. But he has the balls to say, and those are the kinds of things that a lot of people wish that they could say, and that's why they love him.
Why is it outrageous to say if they all do it?
The reason why it's outrageous to say, and the reason why a lot of broadcasting companies all over America blacked out certain parts of his segment when he said this thing about the cocaine and the meth use, and you crackhead cocaine meth head Marys, you want to go one-on-one with The Rock and all 22 inches of heaven. Blacking out those parts of his segment is because it is socially unacceptable to say that in the workplace. It is socially unacceptable in the workplace to say fuck socially. Maybe there's certain businesses where they say those things and it's accepted, but socially, culturally speaking, it's unaccepted. It's unaccepted to say how you really feel, which is why whenever someone asks you, how are you? You are programmed from an early age to say, I'm good. How are you? But you don't even want to ask the person, how are you? I can guarantee in my lifetime, I've seen it. I've seen the conversation with so many people. How are you? I guarantee you it's 80% of the time never genuine. It is never genuine. It is more of a programming. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Thanks. But meanwhile, they're not good. Meanwhile, they hate that job. Meanwhile, they probably think your armpits stink or they hate that cologne that you're wearing, but they don't want to say it. And that's another form of being nice. There are things that we have to say. This is what I'm getting at now to end this off. We have to say certain things that we have to say and get our point across. That's the 10x version of us. That's the 10x version of us. We have to do things that a lot of people are scared to do. That's the 10x version of us. Each and every one of us. All the big ones. To be the big one is to not be a friend to the world. It's to be in service to God. It's to be in service to the higher power. Whether you call it right or wrong, good or bad, you got to do what is right for you. But you can't do that if you're operating on other people's programs and other people's conditionings. You're never going to be able to do that. You're never going to be able to live your fullest potential in this way. Never, never. And when it comes to life purpose, we are at a stage in our collective evolution where there's so much going on. We are on the cusp of seeing hardware, artificial intelligence walking down the street within the next couple of years that have human bodies with the operating system of the artificial intelligence. This is going to happen very, very soon. This is going to happen really, really soon. Our sovereignty has been challenged severely during the time of the COVID situation, the lockdown. And a lot of us, especially men, took it, complaining about it from home and taking it. How many businesses went down? How many pharmaceutical companies made shitloads of money while other people went bankrupt, homeless, became addicted to drugs, their whole lives fucked up because of the COVID situation? And now we're having a whole bunch of medical doctors, Dr. Joseph Marcola now, releasing and publishing books on the inflated numbers of COVID and reported deaths in the United States on COVID. This is also why there is only one David Icke and why so many people admire the shit out of David Icke, because he's saying the shit that they wish they could say. And when I speak of David Icke, I can't help but also think about your father, because your father is also acknowledged too. He's a fan of David Icke because David Icke is saying the shit that he wished he could say.
Yeah, David Icke is another voice for the masses.
He's another voice for the mat, just like Stephen Greer. He is saying the shit about aliens, UFOs, artificial intelligence, extraterrestrials, and the government's conspiracy for a long time to hide the fact that there have always been extraterrestrials on this planet and that they're not violent. And that finally now, over the last 2 years, 3 years, the United States government has disclosed, yeah, there's actually extraterrestrials, but it goes much deeper than that. But he is saying the shit that a lot of people don't have the courage to say because they want to be a friend to the world, because they want to be nice. And I'm sure that there's also people that have shit that they need to say about the cabal, about child pedophilia, about fucking vaccinations that are being illegally enforced on people in Africa. But they're not. Everything that we're saying here, I'm not making up new shit. I'm only recycling the stuff that I've researched, and I'm only sharing observation that I've seen and that I've shared with you so that we can say something of meaning and of value to the big ones so that they can take something from each and every single podcast episode and do some shit with it. maybe each and every podcast episode that they listen to gets them one step closer to doing the next thing that they need to do for their life purpose. Or if they haven't, gets them to finally take action on their life purpose. But we cannot continue playing on saying the same shit over and over again and expecting someone to be like, yep, I'm going to go live my purpose tomorrow. No, motherfucker. Now, if it is true what the research indicates from the outer world about climate change and the lack of healthy soil that is available for agricultural purposes because there are standards and practices and regulations to use pesticides and chemicals on our food that is destroying the human body, that is also destroying the planet, that is destroying the ecosphere. And we had met some weeks, for a couple months since we got Mama, a insectologist who had specifically talked about that over the last 50 years, the amount of insects inhabiting this planet has significantly decreased. What happens when that number gets to a critical low? It is highly likely that we're going to start seeing major collapses internally, implosions of the biosphere. And then what? And then what? And this is why action, doing, is important. This is why we must be expressing, like you had said, Hema, on the last one, expressing the sexual energy, doing something of value, doing something of meaning for the greatest and highest good, because we don't have much time. Every day that passes is another day that we get closer to perhaps a very destructive end. And I don't say this from a place of fear. Whether I live or whether I die, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not saying this to create a sense of urgency out of fear. I am saying this to create a sense of urgency out of the importance of understanding that you and I, we only have 24 hours in a day. We don't know when we're going to die. It's either live your fucking purpose or don't. It's that simple. That business that makes you 7 figures a year, great. But who gives a shit if in a couple years you can't even buy food because there's no food that can be grown? Who gives a flying fuck about your Porsche, about your Ferrari? I don't. I do not. I don't care if you wrote a new book. What are you going to do to fulfill that big purpose that God has sent you here to do? That's why we're doing this. And that's why we cannot say the shit and sugarcoat it. We cannot sugarcoat what we mean. We must be direct. We must be absolutely direct and clear and straight to the point. And that's it. But one will never get there if they are always pretending, if they are always trying to please, if they are always concerned with what the outer world thinks of them, if they are always concerned with how their mother reacts or how their father reacts or whether or not they'll be loved or validated. Never. And that's why nice guys, nice girls will never, ever live their life's purpose.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the LifePurpose.com podcast. If you found this episode valuable, share it with someone that you know needs to hear this. And until next time on the LifePurpose.com podcast.